to me, a big part of why Judge is still not on the team, you know, he's on the IL, obviously, or not in the lineup, is because the way the Yankees mishandled them, yet again, the Yankees have an issue here. Judge should be at the very least DHing, and he is not because of the construction of this team.
What's the problem? They won yesterday. We're good.
Yeah, God Almighty.
Sal, it has been a long, rough road here with these Yankees. It has been just unacceptable. So now, you know, let's face it. I don't know a Yankee fan during the period where we didn't really know what was wrong with Aaron Judge that could not think that Aaron Judge was out for a year. That was certainly where mine was going, where my mind was going. He's not, and now you get a chance to piece this thing together. You know, well, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago or so now. I said, obviously, you know, sell this thing, and that took some heat. The Yankees right now are actually in a pretty interesting position. Now, I'm not saying a good position, but an interesting position. They can do one of two things. They could just kind of, they could add as they've already done. They can roll the dice and hope that Aaron Judge is fine after 10 days, doesn't play the field, just hits and hits well, and they do whatever they do into October. Or they could be a little bit more proactive and say, all right, we could still hope that Aaron comes back. We could still add to this thing here, but we could take a little bit of a different route and call up some guys and trade some pieces. I don't know what they're thinking. All I know is really before yesterday, it's probably one of the most disappointing, grotesque, unacceptable spurts in recent Yankee history. It has been rough.
But don't you think that the Yankees mishandled this whole thing with Judge? If Judge himself, see, we knew he was hurt. You could see the way he's throwing the ball on Friday night, barely throwing it. Why not allow him to DH? The answer is because they figured they want to get everybody's bat in the lineup. Stan's a liability, as we've been saying for years.
Yeah.
So you can't put him in the outfield, although they could talk about trying to do that now. Like, they may not have a choice to put him in the outfield because you physically can't put Aaron Judge out there. But why not just nip it in the bud before it gets worse? Have Judge DH. The most important thing for the Yankees is to have Aaron Judge bat in the lineup. Period. End of story. They chose to try to thread the needle or give it a go when Judge himself said he can't throw. Then he himself said he wanted to play, be the DH, and they said, no, we're going to IL you. What are the Yankees doing?
Well, think about this, Sal. When you're desperate, you do things without a clear mind. And the Yankees' level of desperation, and they still got to be desperate here. There are a ton of games behind Toronto. The wild card's congested. Who the hell knows what's going to happen with Judge? Hopefully it's going to be good. But even going back to Rizzo's concussion, let's face it, there's been some evidence that the Yankees have made some mistakes medically here. Now, the video, we all saw it. I don't know what they're thinking outside of just being desperate. When you see a guy just lobbing the ball, that is, all right, listen, sit down. And I got no problem nailing the Yankees when they deserve it. And I really do feel like they deserve it here because that was incriminating video when your star right fielder is throwing lollipops.
Yeah.
But I just want to leave the window a little open and be as fair as I can to them. However, having said that, that imagery is bordering on recklessness.
Yeah. He's also wearing the compression sleeve. Yep. Obviously this was going on. And they're not, now maybe they don't have to be transparent about all that's going on, every little thing. And they know that, especially with Judge, if it does get out like he's dealing with any kind of tenderness, it's going to be blown up. Okay, fair enough, but if you're paying attention to it and you see the compression sleeve and you see the way he's lollipopping the ball in there in a blowout game, by the way, late in the game, and you do the math, like, come on, guys, what are we doing? Not only that, even if you go beyond that, okay, he's hurt, right? He can't play the field, clearly cannot throw the ball. He says, I want to be in the lineup. Then DH him. What are we doing? Placating Giancarlo Stanton? That's why it's a bigger issue. It goes back to the structure of the team. They continue to do the same thing over and over and over and expect different results. Maybe they can get in the playoffs. Sure. That's going to be their hope. Hey, we're going to try to thread the needle again. Don't want to go all in on getting Suarez. And we can get into the McMahon stuff, whatever. But don't want to go all in. Fine, I respect it. But then don't come to us and say, well, we're trying to win a World Series. Look at where we are. No, you're not all in. You're not all in taking on more money, and you're not all in giving up the prospects. And the construction of this roster has been bad for years.
Which is why they continue to make mistakes, because they keep chasing their tail. And the Yankees are in such a weird spot of obviously being in New York and being this massive entity and having, you know, an absolute superstar player and Judge and the white hot spotlight and all the criticisms and all the praises. Like, the Yankees can't hide. So the Yankees have made mistakes over the years. in trying to fix them, they've made it worse in a lot of ways. They really have. We've talked about this. Dude, before the Ryan, and I happen to like McMahon again. We'll get to that later. But before the Ryan McMahon addition, you were looking at a Yankee roster, Sal, with 2.5 catchers, if you really think about it, 0 third baseman, 1 shortstop who's mentally broken, 2.5 first baseman. I mean, and no middle relief pitchers that you can trust at all for $300 million. So this could have been a very simple, you know, in judge injury side, this could have been a very simple solution. Spencer Jones coming up. But because of the construction and the limitations, you got Stanton. He can't play the outfield. So if you call up Spencer Jones.
What are you doing him? Right.
Exactly. So it's a mess.
But is that the right way to do things?
No, it's the absolute wrong way, which is why the Yankees have taken a lot of heat and a lot of shrapnel, and rightfully so for a while.
Think about it. You go around the dime. Like, I'm watching this over the last week, whatever. I'm like, this is just.
It was awful.
It's messy. It's not even in the results. It's just messy. They got a guy in left field they're trying to bring along. He's
regressed. He's lost.
You could just see it. He's not a big league left fielder right now. I'm not saying he'll never be.
I can't disagree.
Okay, you see it. We're watching it. He's just nursing it along in the outfield. Good God, it's infuriating. A shortstop who has clearly regressed. Hey, why couldn't the Yankees do what the Mets did with Francisco Alvarez? They send Alvarez down because he wasn't producing. He gets right in the minor leagues, and he comes up, and he's being impactful. Now, we'll let sustain. Who the hell knows? But you see that there is a path there to where they could have done this years ago, and they didn't. They're being bullish and thick-headed about it, and it's only gotten worse for Anthony Volpe. Goldschmidt, it was supposed to be the answer at first base. Similar with Rizzo, meaning the older player. Okay, yeah, right-handed, going to be great glove, all that stuff. Again, an older guy who had a great start and is now falling off a little bit.
With no power.
Ben Rice, you need his bat in the lineup. He doesn't have a position! He's not a catcher. He can't play first base. He's a butcher. How are you going to get him in? Stanton, you need his bat in the lineup. Where's his position? And now when you need the luxury of the DH to get the best player in the world in the lineup, you can't do it because you're not built properly.
But to see the out, and I don't disagree with them. I mean, they're built really, really just poorly. But I would say that there's actually a way to do this, but they won't do it. What I would do is, again, I would trade Grisham. I would trade Goldschmidt. I would trade Devin Williams. I would call up Spencer Jones. Bellinger, you're my first base. Now, you're going to have to live with the Volpe stuff right now. And although Rosario here and there, Volpe playing short, Jasher at second, McMahon, who's a stud with the leather at third. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Belly could pick it, and he's hitting very well. Him at first. And then you just piece it to Stanton, you DH. Ben Rice, you DH against righties, whatever. And then you put Spencer Jones in. I'm talking about the 9 or 10 days before Aaron Judge returns. See what you have. So, see, sometimes there's a spark. Yeah, I remember I said this the other day, too, when you said Spencer Jones. Moss, right?
Yeah,
remember
that
a year and a half or so ago? Hey, Spencer Jones, Kevin Moss for the first year or so was intriguing. You never know what a young player could do to propel the situation and inject some energy. And I don't know what Jones is going to be at the major league level, but I sure as hell know that he's earned a reprieve from AAA with 29 home runs for the whole year, which leads all the minor league baseball. I would call them up. Now, they might trade him. The reason why they might not call him up is they don't want to risk him being exposed. And if he plays 4 or 5 games and he strikes out 40% of the time, maybe that butchers a trade that they've got on their radar. Whatever it is, right now, it's bad.
Well, and that's a deeper conversation that we could also have. Like, they're flip-flopping with Spencer Jones. A year ago, it was untouchable, can't talk. Then, throughout the course of the year, it was, Spencer Jones, not what we thought. And now, he's had a hot, you know, recent month or week, whatever, even season.
More than that, though, he played great at Double A, too. He's been on a tear this year. He's killed it.
But he's going on an unrealistic tear right now. Like,
but it's not rewarded. That's the problem. That's my problem. Like, you got to reward that.
Let's say that it is. They call him up. But now he's untouchable again. And then we're in a spot where, I mean, it's been reported, BT. You were the first to say this about Sellers, and we're giving you grief for it, whatever, going back a couple weeks ago. Now, over the course of the weekend, it's actually being talked about legitimately. Like,
I know.
Hey, should the Yankees actually sell, or should they go all in and give up a guy like Spencer Jones for a team that we're all watching is just not good enough? They'll be good enough to get to the postseason. Can they win in the postseason? Outside of the, well, anything could happen in baseball nowadays.
That's what you lean on.
Well, but that's it. Outside of that, no, they're not good enough.
Yeah, well, I agree. And that's why, you know, I've said about the Yankees for a while. Like, I don't want to hear about the American League is weak or Toronto. I told you Toronto was good, dude. I told you they weren't going to crack.
Well, you know
they're not
the
going to crack, man.
You know what they do so well?
They run, they catch the ball, and they play with energy.
They put the ball in play, right? So Boone could sit there with a straight face. I don't know how Boone says some of these things. I know you went after him.
No, I did. It's gotten... Yeah.
He said some weird stuff. Booty, come back to us, bro. Yep. We get that you're protecting the players here, but you got to give a little bit of realism here. It has been going on forever.
Yep.
The fact that he would be like, oh, it's just a few games just so happen it's against this team. Okay, why do you think it happens against this team? Because they put the bat on the ball and make you make plays, and you can't do it. And it's obviously before McMahon, but that's why the Yankees get exposed against Toronto. They run circles around them because they play baseball, and the Yankees just try to mash you to death.
Well, Toronto speeds them up, and that's why the Yankees have made 11 errors against them, because they're all frenetic and running fast and putting the ball in play, and the Yankees are you know, at least the version too often they've trotted on the field is not equipped to play that way. But what I was going to say was, like, about World Series and big picture and all that macro stuff, and, you know, I mean, yeah, okay, it's baseball, it's random, anything can happen. Hey, that's not good enough for me. Like, that's not good enough for me with the Knicks or the Jets or the Giants or the Rangers or anybody in our I don't want to hear about Team X could win because of the circumstances around them. The division's weak. This team's hurt. This league's not that good. When you tell me why a team has a chance to win, I want to hear about the team first and what they have rather than what the other teams don't have.
The only counter to that, because I agree with that.
Which is all we hear at the Yankees these days. American League's not that good. Toronto's not ready.
Same thing last year.
It was the same conversation last year. But this year's a little different because Toronto's better. Yeah, and nobody's afraid of the Yankees.
I'm just saying it was always, when we're talking about the Yankees and talking them up, it was never about this team is great. It was always about nobody else is really great. That was the whole thing last year, and it got them to the World Series until they got exposed. And it was a thought this year. But you're right, other teams are better. The problem is, we could both be against that. The problem is, it is the reality to where if they get in the playoffs, and as bad as things are, they will be a playoff. I mean, look, if it gets worse to the point, they're not going to get it.
If they don't make the playoffs, they're going to move on from Boone.
Well, at the very least, it should be Cashman.
Well, they won't move on from Cashman. They would make a change.
But to me, that's a waste of time. If you're going to move...
Well, I agree.
Cashman's the bigger issue to me. Exactly right. So if you're going to... You're right. If they don't make the playoffs, then Cashman should be fired. Head should roll. Now, maybe if Judge gets hurt, there's a built-in excuse there. But they should make the postseason. And then you get to the realization, like, we're irrational. We're fans. I get it, okay? If you get in the postseason... Like, I hate to say it, but anything can happen.
I know.
So is it worth, and that's why I'm torn on it. Like, my eyes tell me, my brain tells me this team isn't good enough. I said the same thing last year, said the same thing again this year. I thought they were worse after losing Soto for different reasons. And it looks even worse now. But if they get in, anything's possible. So is it worth it in today's landscape of Major League Baseball, Yankees or anybody else? Isn't it worth it to just say, hey, get in, even if you win 85 games, 88 games, whatever it is.
Well, look at the Mets last year. Yeah, they were almost in a World Series. They didn't win 90 games. No, but I also believe, now, I didn't get as much into this aspect of what I said sell, because I didn't want to give you two sides of the story.
Yeah.
You know, my take then was sell. There are pieces on this team that will not be back next year. Capitalize on that, and you could still push forward and maybe, you know, walk that parallel line of getting rid of some players who are not going to be back, but also being just good enough to get in and maybe something magical happen. Are the Yankees going to re-sign Trent Grisham? Are the Yankees going to resign Goldschmidt? Are the Yankees going to resign Devin Williams? The answer is the only one that could possibly be resigned of that group may be Grisham, and I think somebody would value him too much and give him money that the Yankees wouldn't want to.
You don't like Williams, huh?
No. Number one, his ERA is 5.5. Yeah. I know he's been better. Yeah. But he's a closer. His contract's up. Closer's dime a dozen. There's no way. Right. There's no way Devin Williams is back next year. Zero chance. So your closer, your first baseman, your center fielder, those are pieces that I would absolutely unload. Call the kid up. Let him get in. He's got 30 home runs, man. He crushed double. He crushed triple. So not only do the Yankees not evaluate the players who they think are going to be good, who eventually aren't, now they're not going to reward a kid who has been a stud. That's fundamentally wrong.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this whole thing here with the Yankees, and it is immensely frustrating. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Eric is calling from Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
BT and Sal, what's up, boys?
Yo, what's happening, buddy?
Welcome back, Sal. Hope you got a nice vacay, bud.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. What's on your mind?
These Yankees, I got to tell you, you guys, you know, you hit both sides of it. But to me, yeah, the construction, I'm not going to sort of waste any more time on the construction of the roster. It's absolutely a joke. There's so many different issues. And I completely agree with you, BT, as far as who to move on from. I absolutely agree to trade I mean, while you've got some value in these guys, because you're not re-signing Grisham, Goldschmidt, get rid of them. But the question really is, what are you trading them for? And to me right now, the issue with the Yankees, as much as the roster construction is a problem, it's the pitching, right? We're literally third to the bottom in the league right now in starting pitching and worst in the league out of the bullpen. So to me, like, they've got so many holes, but the pitching is where they've got to move. And the question for me is, what's enough in your mind, BT, as a Yankees fan? Like, what's enough to say that this offseason, I'm sorry, that this trade deadline is, you know, a success for Cashman? Like, I don't know. I mean, is it Mitch Keller? Is it Alcantara? Obviously the Twins are looking to make moves.
I mean, Aaron, think about that. And thanks for the call there. It's very hard to answer the question because there's the premise and then there's the individual players, which I don't know who they value for other teams and how they exactly feel about their own guys. My premise is strip down guys who won't be back next year. I mean, but to get an Alcantara or somebody like that, are you giving up Spence? I know Lombard's untouchable. I get that. But I'm at the point, listen, he might be Kevin Moss, and he might be done in 5 years. He might not be. Like, to me, my opinion, I want to see Spencer Jones, and I want to give that young man a shot.
Right.
I wouldn't trade him. I'm not saying untouchable, but I want to see if he's the real deal.
Okay, but here's the thing. Would you trade him now? Like, forget, you want to see him. Okay,
I do.
Enough. Right. But is it worth, like, I don't care about the prospects necessarily. Is it worth trading him now? Like, is there a piece that could be the difference maker in this?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
I really don't.
Me neither. So then even as a guy who's not a prospect hugger and don't believe in Spencer Jones much, like, I just need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Now's not the time to do it. I would have done it last year for Corbin Burns before the year started, thinking that, hey, let's take a run at going to win the World Series here. Prospects be damned. Let's finish this thing off. Get the final pieces in here. Obviously, they didn't. I don't think now is the time to do it. Also, BT, another problem aside from the construction is they're trying to thread the needle of developing young players and also winning now. And to me, you can't do both. You can't do both. They're trying to do both. Are you developing Dominguez and finding out what he is? And if you are, then why not get a look at him in center field?
Well, you are kind of finding out. He doesn't hit lefties well, okay, and he's not very good in left field. So you've got some answers, and you're still a playoff team now. So they've threaded that, I think, more effectively than you give him credit for.
Yeah, but
I don't love
but
it.
But to what extent?
Well, like, I mean,
like, is Jason Dominguez a left fielder on a championship team?
No, I said the other day I would only DH him against righties right now.
So
he's a horrendous butcher in left field.
Yankees have like 15 DHs. Judge now with the injury stand. Ben Rice, Dominguez. Like,
I know.
So what are we doing here? Same thing with Ben Rice. You're going to get his bat in the lineup every single day? Like, how do you know if he's going to be able to hit every day or have a position if you don't do it? Now, I'm not saying that I would do that right now, but they're trying to do both. What was the word you used a couple weeks ago? Not evaluation mode, but like experimental phase?
Yeah, the experimental phase. Okay. Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're using...
Like the part of the season where you're still getting answers, and then once you get the answers, you've got to act, which is where we are
Correct.
Now.
Correct. And it was until they got punched in the face by Toronto the first time.
Yep, the four games.
The experimental phase was going on, and then it was like, okay, we got to stop this because we've fallen out of first place.
Correct.
But yet, they're still kind of experimenting with Dominguez in left field, with him righty, with Ben Rice, whether it's catcher at first base a little bit. Figure Spencer Jones, if he were to come up, like, I'm okay with it. Just pick a lane. Booney loves these lanes. Pick a lane and go with it.
And you know they won't.
That's exactly
they won't.
Right.
They won't do it. They're not gonna pick a lane in the next week or
and
so.
Maybe
they're not.
Maybe it's because of the way the sport, you know, lends itself to say, hey, we could win 87 games and get in and get hot. And with their offense, if they're healthy, then maybe they could be as dangerous as anybody else. I'm not hearing myself as clean as I'm hearing you or everything else, and it's driving me up a wall.
Well, that happened to me too with this thing with the screen. So when I came back, the screen wasn't working. I mean, Stan Carton might be coming back trying to get rid of this early here.
At least I'm lucky to let me back in the building and we have a seat to sit in today. All right, so the Martino tweet that I talked about before, and he was on top of this over the course of the weekend, plugging into both the Mets and the Yankees. He tweeted just a little while ago, actually 10 a.m. As reported in yesterday's column, Yanks have laid a little groundwork in trading free agents to be. It's exactly what you were saying for weeks.
There we go.
Andy says he's highly skeptical that they'll do it. It only happened once in 16, and they're now in playoff position. And then he says, but if they do, Trent Grisham is a great fit for the Mets. Now, this is something that you and I have talked about for months. Mm-hmm. Like, we went back to it. There were two guys that I was eyeing, Ben Rice, lefty DH, or Trent Grisham, and or Trent Grisham in center field. You know, I don't know what the Yankees would want at this point. Back then it was, hey, do you want Beatty? Do you, you know, whatever, third baseman or McNeil for Grisham? I'm sure now they would probably want more prospects, I would think. But if Grisham is available, dude, he is the perfect fit for the Mets.
You know, I agree. Because we've obviously talked about that, as you said. The one thing that I've always said this, like, if there's a deal to be, I'm going to get a little petty here.
Yeah.
All right. If there's a deal to be had, and it's going to really solidify or strengthen your present or your future, then do it, independent of, like, rivalries or whatever it might be, like a Jets-Patriots or a Rangers-Islanders or a Yankee Met. I'm just throwing crazy stuff out there. Honestly, if you're Hal, you really want to send Grisham to the Mets, who are starting to hit stride, lower third of the order starting to hit, top three starting pitchers looking really good, already got a lefty Soto out of the pen who throws gas. Like, you want to give the Mets more weaponry to maybe get to and win a World Series?
What's the return, right? It's got to be worth it. You're not just going to give him, like, yeah, you know what? We're not going to use him anyway at the end of the year. We're not going to re-sign him. Here you go.
No, but but what I would do is to maybe get somebody comparable. Like, if the Mets are going to give me 73 cents on the dollar, and I don't know, the Brewers are going to give me 66 cents on the dollar. Give me the 66 cents.
But that
usually contradicts what I say.
But I don't think in Grisham's case it would be worth, like, there's not really going to be that much of a difference.
Dude, Tyrone Taylor has three home runs.
This guy's going to
hit 25, 30.
I'm talking about from the Yankees' perspective.
Okay.
From the Mets' perspective, yes. I just don't know. Like, let's just say the Yankees, like, they said, we want Beatty. Now, that's a pretty big piece to get back. You're getting a player that's under control with potential.
Who's playing very well last month or so.
Like, now, from a Mets perspective, I would not do that.
You should not do that. That would be stupid for the Mets.
As much as I want Grisham and think he's a better fit right now for the Mets than Beatty is, it's just not a smart trade to make. So what are the Yankees going to, like, really, for a guy like Grisham, you're talking about double-A players probably.
Yeah, I would think so.
Then at that point, do the Mets really have something that's going to knock your socks off as opposed to the Brewers or whoever else?
No. So
then that's back to your point. Like, if there is no real difference, why are you going to help?
Yeah, just go the other way.
I get it, dude.
I mean, Grisham with the Mets, I mean,
he's exactly what they need.
He is perfect for what they need.
He's better than Mullins.
Yeah, no question. He's got more power. He's a better fielder at this point than Mullins, too.
He's proven in the postseason.
Yeah, a little bit.
Proven in New York to a certain extent. Like,
yeah, high character guy.
Not going to cost a lot. Like, he's the perfect fit for the Mets. Unfortunately, like you said, the Yankees maybe. Yeah, it's not even petty or hardball. It's just small. Like, the Yankees need to, if they are going to start selling off some pieces, I would think the correct way to do it is you identify players that you like in other farm systems, whoever it may be, whatever, pick a team. The Dodgers want Grisham. I don't know. Just pick a team. Then you start saying, okay, well, the Dodgers and Mets want Grisham. Let's go scour the minor leagues, which players we like best. That's it. It's not about, you know, who's going to give you more necessarily. It's about what you like best. Because I think the price is what it is for.
He's making $5 billion. He's making this year. You're not getting anything of significance. You're going to get a 19-year-old kid back in high A. That's what you're going to get for Grisham.
But if it is somebody with the Mets organization, then maybe you'd be willing to do that. Also, is there a way? Because you've been saying this, and I don't really think that there is. But is there a way to thread that needle and sell off some of these pieces?
I honestly do. Bellinger at first, Grisham at second, Volpe at short.
I like Bellinger in the outfield, though.
I do too. But again, you know, Bellinger gives you first base, from an offensive perspective, production that and athleticism that Goldschmidt does not give you. I get it, lefty-righty, understood. So I think that that's a big uptick, even though Goldschmidt's a good pro, but Bellinger's just better. And, you know, this is where I, myself, am willing to roll the dice. If you have a kid, you know, with the nickname of Martian, which obviously about these out-of-the-world transcendent skills, well, which he hasn't really flashed nearly enough at this point to justify the nickname, but at least let me get the final answer. Put him in his normal position. Or if you don't want to put him there and you want to let him DH against righties because he's very good as a lefty, then put Spencer Jones in center field, who's played 30 times there this year. There's ways to do this until Judge comes back. Until Judge comes back. And there's no guarantee the Judge comes back after 10 days and comes back as Judge. So there's a lot of variables here. But you could do something where you have Spencer Jones in center, Dominguez in center.
Yeah.
You can do, you know, obviously, Dominguez in center, Jones in left, figure out right. Like, there's a way to do it. Like, the Yankees aren't good right now. So it's not like the Yankees are going from the 98 Yankees or any other championship iteration, and they're stripping down and they're rolling. The Yankees have stunk for the last 2 months. They are sloppy and they're tough to watch. That's what I would do.
Would you rather, like, why not just go all in and make a decision to sell and sell Bellinger? You're going to get back.
No, I'll tell you why.
But if you put, you're going to get a sick return.
Right, let me hear it out.
I'm just talking it out in real terms here, because I get trying to thread the needle and do it halfway. I understand all that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be an appealing part of, okay, we're making the decision. Our team right now is not good enough, and maybe this gets expedited if Judge is, in fact, seriously hurt.
That's a little different.
Then you say, screw
it. But I still trade the other guys, for sure, matter what.
Okay, right, understood.
No matter what.
But if you do trade Bellinger and bring back more, and now you really just say, we're going with the young guys. We're going to play Ben Rice at first base, Dominguez in center, Jones in one of the outfield spots, you know, whatever, left, right, however they want to work it. And we let Volpe ride at short, like, really see what you got. Maybe even Lombard at the end of the year. Like, I'm just thinking long term. Isn't that, like, instead of trying to halfway it and be like, yeah, we'll sell off these guys and then bring in some additions, as opposed to just, hey, maybe we can max out here and try to get rid of some of these guys and really, you know, enhance our return.
I don't know what they're thinking about Bellinger, but they have to be thinking what I'm thinking about Bellinger, and I'm not trading him under any circumstance because I'm looking to keep him here beyond this contract. Oh, he can opt out. He loves being a Yankee. He's an incredible athlete. He's a lefty stick. He plays four positions, and he plays them all really well. So, like, if maybe if he was just like a one-position guy, you know, meaning first base or one of the outfield spots, his versatility is going to be whatever he gets on his next contract. It's going to be such a bargain. I'm looking to keep him. And like whenever the Yankees get their act together, truly, whether it's Whit Lombard and other guys and Schlitler, if these guys are here, you know, like a year or two down the road and maybe are truly a championship powerhouse, maybe I envision somebody like Bellinger almost as a more athletic Paul O'Neill who's here for a while.
Yeah, at least that's the right answer as opposed to, well, I still want to make the playoffs and go for it. It's because you like him, the player, and want him here long term. Bobby's in Belmore. What's up, Bobby?
Before I get to Fried, Stanton and Dominguez, that's hell of an outfield. The Yankees have had the second worst record since mid-June. Judge injury is a precursor to a UCL test, so they better be careful with Judge. And the last thing about Fried, I talked to you about this, Sal, last week. Now he's throwing another bad start against a playoff caliber team. That's four starts, Toronto twice, Mets and Cubs. That's 14 runs in, I believe, in 19 innings. He's been horrible in the postseason. He was terrible last year. And since the 2021 Atlanta clincher in the World Series, he has not been a good postseason pitcher.
But what are you going to do, Bobby? You can't. And thank you for the call. You're not going to get rid of Max Fried.
No.
So, and Fried should be the least of the Yankees' issues. Although what I would say is, you know, when you invest in an ace like that, $218 million, he's only pitching every 5 days, best case scenario. He's not going to be perfect. And you kind of need that. That's why we talked about this many times, the way the Mets do it, even though they don't have an ace. To me, it's more fundamentally sound, financially safer, more a sounder investment when you're investing less in something that's such an unknown and something that's not used every single day the way that a piece from the regular lineup would be.
I see both ways. You and I have had that conversation. You said that for a while, that I get where you're coming from. But listen, Max Fried was right there with Schuble for the Cy Young for April and May and into June. He has not been the same pitcher. Now, I'm not worried, but I'm certainly not thrilled with the way he's pitched for the last three, four, five times out. Now, the blister, the other day he was bleeding, and Boone's like, he's fine. It's bleeding.
You're bleeding, like Piper.
We got to talk about Hulk Hogan.
I know, dude.
Good
I know.
God, boy Hulk.
I wish he died when I was here. I wish we could have done this.
Wait, are you mad at him for not dying when you wanted him to die?
No, actually, I'm mad that, you know, oh, come on, Hulkamania will live forever. You couldn't last a couple more months. We could have you in studio. We're supposed to have him on. Did Alf tell you that?
I know.
I never got to meet him. Anyway, we can get into that. There's a lot that happened last week.
I told you to call in. I said on the air that day. I'm like, did you hear it?
No, I didn't hear it. Somebody texted me about it, and then Hoff texted me about it as well. I was at brunch. I told him to tell you. I was literally at brunch overlooking a lake, whatever we're. It's like, I can't.
I got you.
And, you know, I'm with Sammy and my wife. Like, imagine I'm like, yeah.
What is Hulk, though?
I got to talk to BT about the Hulkster. I'm sorry. Break up the vacation. Right. I have not obviously chimed in on the McMahon trade. My initial thought was, remember I was saying, like, I didn't want the Yankees to get Suarez. I don't think that was a need for them. So I'm not going to go over the top and give whatever it's going to take to get Suarez for where he's a guy who strikes out a ton and he's going to hit 30 homers, which is great. But that's the last thing that the Yankees need is power. However, and I like the idea of McMahon with Rosario, right? Like, it's clearly an upgrade, which is why you can't go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But you are adding a guy who leads the league in strikeouts and is coming from Colorado hitting .214.
Yeah.
But I just got to remind myself, it's an upgrade, at the very least, just defensively over Peraza. Remember, Peraza was not, he was supposed to be a defensive stud, but even he wasn't even that. So, then he's just not a big leaguer. So now at least they have a big leaguer that can play a gold glove caliber third base the strikeouts are going to bother everybody. I'm telling you. I mean, it's just a matter of, it gets a 200 hitter that strikes out a ton coming from Coors Field. But if you could live with that, meaning the other guys do their job in the top of the order, you should be okay. It's obviously an upgrade, which is why you can't go nuts.
I mean, listen, the Suarez stuff, when we first started hitting that about a month or so ago, was much more appealing to me than it became the last 2 weeks or so. And I was more on McMahon than most, and certainly more on McMahon than not.
You liked him last year, I remember.
I did. But because, he was still intriguing to me. He was still 27, 28, and nothing around him, and you could justify it. Now, when you're hitting 210, 205, 209, that's tough to stomach, and he's an absolute strikeout machine. And his first game, which would have been on Saturday, he had some really empty at-bats against the lefty, like he was swinging and missing by a mile. So you can see that swing and miss stuff is there. But, like, my thought was anybody that the Yankees bring in, I want to know that they're going to be able to make a contribution if they don't put the ball in the seats. And if Suarez doesn't go yard, he's a zero on the bases. He's a zero with third. At least with McMahon and now Rosario, at least, you know, if the ball's not in the seats, there's other tangible things that they deliver on a nightly, like defense. Always, you get off the team bus, defense comes with you, like team speed. So again, he's not Greg Nettles, he's not A-Rod, he's probably not even Brocious, but definitely an upgrade, and I like it, and I'm rooting for him. I'm very intrigued to see what he could be with in a more. Now, pressure can also will people, but I feel like he'll respond well, like playing in meaningful games, also with some better players around them.
The only issue, I guess, I have, even when it first came down, is like, okay, well, Cashman talked a big game. What was the exact word he used? I always forget it.
But I know, not,
he was insinuating going all in.
He was.
Whatever it was. So, insinuating going all in, and then you come up with
go
that.
Go for it, I think.
Yeah, we're going to go to town. That's it. Thank you, Dove. We're going to go to town.
Dovey.
Okay, well, nice. Well, is McMahon going to town? It's not to me. Like, that's not going to town. Yeah, I don't want to think. You know, no, I'm thinking about going to town, and I'm thinking about, you know, that video that we saw up in the...
Yeah, somebody was going to town.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I can't help it. I'm sorry. That's what I was thinking of. You shouldn't have sent me the video. Not you, but whoever sent me that video, I'm not going to name names.
Not even a night game.
Anyway, right in the middle of the day. So that's not going to... Well, that's going to town, but Cashman is not going to town with McMahon and Rosario. Are you going to go all in and give up your prospects? That's going to town. But I do think that this was the right move because I think the Yankees needed defense more than they needed offense.
And yes, I agree with that.
This obviously is an upgrade, significant upgrade defensively from what you could have gotten or what you had. And he's at least a threat. You know, Yankee Stadium, lefty bat.
Yeah, good base runner, walks a ton. Hey, far from a perfect player.
But the strikeouts, BT, that's what drives me nuts because they do the same thing.
They're a ton of strikeouts. I mean, he is a strikeout machine. Nobody can get around that.
But then that's what they do in their lineup. So it's the same thing. Like, the reason why I don't like it is because the Yankees are doing the same thing. They say they're going to go to town, and they don't. And they bring in another guy that's a high strikeout guy. Like, it's the same.
Yeah, but that's been a massive complaint, and it's been an accurate one about the Yankees for a long time. Now, I would trade Goldschmidt. But Goldschmidt is a lower strikeout guy compared to usually who they employ. You know, Grisham is not over the top strikeout rate. Like, it's gotten a little bit better, but basically where we're at here, 10:49 on a Monday in late July, and the Yankees, what, 5.5 out, whatever it is against with Toronto, they are once again forced to remake this and shift and throw some darts and hope. And I mean, $300 million payroll thing should be more settled than this.
BT and Sal on the fan. Nick is calling from South Carolina. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's up?
Listen, I had a kind of a unorthodox view of what's going on. We have the pieces to make a run, with the exception of pitching. And I'd like to just run it by you guys, if you could let me. We have this kid down in AAA who's just smacking the leather off the ball. Bring him up, put him in right field. Grisham in center, Bellinger in left. Now you take Ben Rice, you put him at first base. Okay, he's your first baseman. When Judge comes back from the IL, platoon him at first base with Ben Rice. He get him
Judge
out of
first
the outfield.
Base?
You put him at first base. That's where he belongs.
Nick,
get him out
Nick,
of the
Nick,
outfield.
Hold on a second, buddy. It's not a crazy idea, but it's crazy to think that they're going to throw him at first base now. They're not doing it in the middle of the season. No chance.
Platoon with Rice, that's why.
I got
Rice
you.
There.
Not happening.
That frees up Goldschmidt to be traded. Then take Dominguez, take Goldschmidt. Now you've got two good trade baits to go out and get pitching because now you've got a solid outfield that can hit. you've got some contact hitters, and you got a little bit of speed. You can make a run at this thing. Plus, you extend Judge's life, because if you put him back in the outfield, he's done.
Well, he'll be first base at some point, Nick, and thank you for the call. We've talked about this for years here, with the Yankees always toying with giving him a first baseman's glove in spring training or whatever it may be.
2 years ago they did that.
Yeah, so but that's down the road. Now, maybe it's as soon as next year. It's not going to be this year.
Not midseason.
Nor should it be. Now, he mentioned something. I don't know if he messed up, but he did say trade Dominguez. Would you consider trading Dominguez?
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course I would.
I think so, too. But but remember where we were, a year ago, a month ago.
Things change.
I understand. I'm just saying.
I'm looking to give him away, and I don't want to do it for a rental. But if you tell me he's piece of a package right now that, Cashman's cooking up something. We know all the names that might get dealt. If it's a name that's not on the radar, like Devers a couple of months ago, and it's Dominguez and it's Schlittler for some 25-year-old superstar and maybe even more from the of course I would do it. Sure.
I'm just not sure that this is the right time to do it. In theory, I would do it. Right now, I think it's such a mess. And there's two problems here. I think it's such a mess that I need to sit back and evaluate, this is just falling apart. We could try to patch it together like they did with McMahon and Rosario, but you don't know what you have in left field. You don't know what's going on with Judge. You know it's a mess with DH and Rice and this and that.
Dude, the bullpen is the worst.
The bullpen is just
absolute.
And there's no way you could repair that without having at least Weaver getting back to what he was. If he's not what he was, you're screwed. You're not going to go out and get four or five arms. Mm-hmm. The rotation's not very good. Even, Rodon.
You got Hill coming back, though. It's going to help. Okay. If he's right.
Stroman's throwing BP every time he's out there.
Yeah, I got to tell you. Oh, forget about Stroman. I got to tell you, though, I was impressed with Rodon because he could have quit.
He battled.
And again, you should. That's your job description. But he showed some stones.
I still feel like I need to see what the hell they have here before I make any rash decisions.
You can't. You got to make a trade by Friday.
Understood. Also, do I trust the guys in charge to make the right decisions? That's the same thing.
That's a deeper conversation. That's a good question.
It is. And also, maybe we can get into that coming back as well. Would you because there is some thought that they're going to let the next few games impact what they do, which to me is, it's insane to think that it's going to come down to a week or a few games. Hey, this series against the Rays, let's say the Yankees win 3 out of 4. Season back on, we're buying. Or they lose 3 out of 4, season off, we're selling.
It should never be that unstable where, and not in a 162-game season, where a week or two determines what you do. There's no way.